That's going to be a record. So I'm just warning you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon us as we gather. May we encounter the Abba love of Christ through the Father, our Abba Father, in a special way today. And may we enjoy a sweet communion with the Holy Spirit today as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. So I'm wearing the right color, but not on the costume. But in Revelation 7, 9, and 10, there's a vision of multitude of all kind of people, all kind of language. I think they also wear different costume. But they're all one. So that's what's the picture in Revelation, that multitude from all denomination, from all culture, from all races will come together. And the coming together is under the Lamb of God. Salvation only belongs to Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, He sent His Son. For God so loved the church, He sent His Spirit. So there's a special place of the Holy Spirit in the Trinity that we need to respect. We need to have reverence. So the encounter of Acts 1:8 is not only once. It is a beginning of a long journey. And that's what we want to look at today. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture. But on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. I wonder whether that beginning was a requirement for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I wonder. All right? They were freaking out in fear. But they came together in faith because they're like, I can't do this. I'm overcome with spirit of fear. I need something more. And then Jesus said, you will get more if you tarry and wait, because when the Spirit comes, He will endue you with a perpetual power, a dynamic dynamo that everlasting will never run out. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Next slide. So, God began with His end in mind. If you want to know what the biblical ending, look at the last book, the last page, the last chapter, and you take a peek. The Spirit and the bride say, come. He who testified. Who is the one who testified here? He who testified to this thing say, yes, I am coming quickly. Who is this man? One, two. You sure? Is it our Lord that say, I'm coming? So what's the Spirit role? So the Spirit was meant to accompany the church from the beginning, Acts 1:8, to the end, almost like a bridesmaid, a helper, a dowry deposit. So that encounter on Acts 1:8 is just the beginning. We have to look at the end. It's the continuation of the Pentecost that we, my brothers and sisters, struggle. Because we argue so much. You know what? Jesus is coming for one bride. You are in the harem or helem? Helem? I got it right. English is not my first language, so that's why I dress like a Chinaman, because I'm a Chinaman. When I speak to God, I don't speak in Chinese or English. I just let the groaning come out. So Jesus testified, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. And all the church united with one voice, with one call, they say, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. So one of the role of the Holy Spirit is to get us ready. And part of getting us ready is we need to respond. How many of you are responding to the prompting of the Spirit? And some of us may not get to the last day where we are awaiting Christ coming. Then there's also the Spirit of glory and God that will rest on us. Have you been reviled? Have you been attacked abusively with anger just because you are Christian? Have things gone wrong that scream at you and say, "Where is your Lord?" May the Spirit of glory and Spirit of God rest in you. Let's be clear, the Trinity is co-equal. We believe in God, and this God have three personhood: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why He's a Spirit of glory, He's Spirit of God. He's a Spirit of glory. So part of the sanctification is to take us from the gutter of sin to the glorious presence of God and to be a beautiful bride. Team, are you ready to be a bride? What a righteous answer. Thank you, brother. I'm ready to be a bride. Jesus is my lover of my soul. I have no problem saying that. I love Jesus. He loves me so much, and I'm willing to be His bride. I pray that I will be without blemish and spotless and pure. May we all be there on that day. And if we can't be there on our dying breath, believe the Spirit of glory and God will rest on you. God began with the end in mind. Therefore, we have hope. It's not finished yet. So I look at the last page of the Bible. We win. We win. Next one, please. All right. So I basically believe, if you look through the scripture from Genesis to the end, Holy Spirit was there. If you look at the Christian church, Christian life, Jesus was promising the Holy Spirit will be in your beginning till the end. No Spirit, no salvation. We all agree? If you can't be born again of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God, heaven. That's John 3. All right? But we also know the sanctifying grace is that before we were born, the Spirit was wooing us. Come on, come on. You can be alive again. Believe, believe. And then we're like, okay, I give up. Jesus, be the Lord and my Savior. And then we come alive. No Spirit, no salvation. No Spirit, no salvation. No Spirit, no sanctification. My good wife, who is an Aussie girl, speak English, she said, sanctification, that's a big word. Simply means God is in the process of setting us apart just to be like God. As He is holy, so we are holy. We are being sanctified because we're going usher into the glorious presence of God and to be the bride of Christ. So we need to be clean, inside out. Inside out. So the process of sanctification is important than the glorification. Let me just read a few scripture before I carry off. So how does the Holy Spirit do sanctification and glorification? In 2 Thessalonians 2:13 to 14, it says, God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you. It was for this He called you through our gospel that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So salvation, sanctification, and glorification all unto Jesus Christ. The link between Jesus, the Word, and Holy Spirit, the life, and the truth is very important. Jesus say, it is the Spirit who gives life. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus, our Lord and Savior, say, It is through the Spirit that He gives life. That's why we need to be born again of the Spirit. The flesh profits nothing. The words, so this is Jesus saying, the words, the Rhema words I've spoken to you are Spirit and life. No Spirit, no life. But no word too, no Rhema word, the Logos becoming flesh and dying on the cross, there is no life. Let me read it again. Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and life. And Paul picked this up, and he has interchanged between Ephesians and Colossians. Let me read this. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. And then Colossians 3:16, similarly, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. So you can actually interchange it with Colossians and Ephesians. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, when the living word of Christ dwells in you, you will relate well with each other. You will make melody in your heart. So that's what the Spirit is giving. It's breathe word of Christ into you and bring it alive so that you can start living the way Christ wants you to live, being aided by the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is also another helper, just like Christ, all right? Another means of the same kind, because Jesus, who is trapped in the body, has to go to the heaven, and therefore the glorification of Christ releases Holy Spirit to us. So Holy Spirit is another helper, just like Christ. Christ helps us by being the way to the Father. Christ help us as Lord and Savior to give us the truth about the Father. Christ came to put a face on our God who we can't see and say, if you see me, you see my Father. So you provide the life with the Father. That's how Jesus helped us. Now the Holy Spirit now come to help us. And this is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. This is all from John 14:15-16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, and that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth emphasized so many times. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Now the Spirit of truth is being released to us in a way that we don't understand, because like say, the Holy Spirit was there in the Genesis. He was just hovering in the chaos. And then God said, let there be light. Let's make man in our image. Jesus like, okay, let's do it. All right? There was unity in that Trinity of the creation. John 16:13-14. He, the Spirit of truth, comes. When He comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, for He will take mine and will be close. So the Holy Spirit comes from the Father. When He comes, His main mission is to glorify Jesus Christ. Can you see the Trinity in unity working together? And Jesus is like, I'm not afraid of Holy Spirit taking glory, because His purpose is to glorify me. And He's from the Father, promised gift from the Father. All right? So, He will guide you into all truth. How many truth? Very good English. All means all, isn't it? No compromise. All truth. And how does He do it? He guides you. He is like a GPS. All right? Internally, but guess what? Also like a mobile phone in your heart. And the charge has been paid for. It's free. But you need to pick up the phone when He calls. All right, GPS, God Positional Spirit. When that prompting say, you know, I'm picking on someone. Simon, don't go right. You know, Simon, I've been this path so long, you know, I'll go straight. No, 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 don't go right. You know, that small voice, don't go right. Now you got a choice. You either go straight or you go right. Spirit does not control you in a way that you lose control. All right? That's a wrong doctrine. Spirit do not control you until you lose control. That's why it's a spirit of self-control. That's why the fruit of one of his spirit is self-control. If you're losing control, anyway, I won't go there. All right, keep going. Then this one I like because Acts 1:8 is talking about the power of God coming on us so that we can be true witnesses. So John 15 says, Spirit of truth will testify, will bear witness to what I am, Jesus saying, and then you will testify about me. So you can't be a good witnesses of Jesus until the Holy Spirit come on you so that he can tell you the full story, who Jesus is, so that you can then be a true witness of who Jesus is, revealing the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. The word witness is actually in Greek spelled M-A-T-Y-R. Mata. I can't pronounce it anyway. M-A-T-Y. All right. And the verb of that is to testify. So a witness was willing to die because this is truth. I'm willing to die for the testimony of the true God. That's what the witness is. That's why we need the power. Who likes death? I don't like pain. You know, no pain, no pain, no pain. Holy Spirit also help us to worship God in spirit and truth. So in Philippians 3:3, it says, we worship in the Spirit of God and glory of Jesus Christ. John 4, Jesus said, God is spirit. Therefore, we need to worship it in spirit and truth. And the thing again with all that is Jesus pointing out, okay, there come a time where we have to worship God in spirit and truth. And then he said, the Father is looking for this true worshiper. So he got Jesus and the Holy Spirit involved again. And then it's the Father that looking for the true worshiper. So the Father is looking for the children who will worship in spirit and truth. How would you walk in this Holy Spirit Pentecost 2022? If you are reviled for the name of the Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. We are in a very secular community now. If you are righteously wanting to witness for Christ, you may be persecuted. Somebody might throw one stone or two stones, but you will get verbally abused. But be at peace. The Spirit of glory and God will rest on you. All right. Not yet. Finally, okay, to conclude, Christ's passion and prayer was for us to be one while we are on earth, not when we get to heaven, all right? This is Jesus' prayer in John 17. Jesus prayed that they may all be one, even you, Father, in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, to us. The glory of God that Jesus has given us is for that we may be one, just as we, as in the Trinity, are one, in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. Part of the sanctification process is we put away our preference and we look at another brother and say, you are beautiful, you know, you are beautiful, you know, I prefer your style more than my style. That's what unity is. That's what humility is. And God loves that, that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. So now we are in the post-resurrection. Now it's our turn. you and I, it's our turn to show and tell God's aim, God's love. So Acts 1:8 again, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in your Jerusalem, in your Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And we can go there now online. You know, you can show love online without going there physically. Will you be that vehicle of love? Will you bear the witness that Jesus is all about love? God the Father is all about love. And the Holy Spirit is the same thing. The greatest witness testimony we can give to the world is to show and tell God's unity in the Trinity. And then God's love and unity for all Christians here and everywhere. Ephesians 4:4-6 say, there's only one body, one spirit. Just also you will call into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. You only have one God, one Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. And Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You want a spirit to rule in you? You want a spirit to fill in you? Then that outcome will be righteousness, peace, and joy with yourself and with others. And then he goes on to say, for he who is this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and men. All right, can you show the next slide? Finally, my brothers and sisters, coming to the land. This Pentecost, can I implore you, let's walk worthy and wisely in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I in Christ implore you, my brothers and sisters, to walk in a manner worthy. Worthy means the right way. You know, the right way compared to the glory of God. You walk worthily, not less. More is okay, but not less of the calling which you have been called. We only have one calling. You're not called to be an apostle. You're not called to be this. You only have one calling. Complete humility. Willing to lower yourself. Not that others can walk over you, but you're willing to lower yourself so that you can lift another brothers and sisters up. That's what humility is. Choose humility. And gentleness is meekness. Meekness is being like a wild animal being trained and tamed so that they have the right temperament all the time. Will you let the Spirit train you and tame you so that you have a right temperament all the time with everyone? With patience, we don't use the word long-suffering anymore, but long-suffering is basically in the battle, you do not give up. You do not let any of your men down. You do not give up. You may lose, but you do not give up on your people. You do not give in to your brothers and sisters. You will fight for them. You will fight with them, but you won't fight against them. That's what long-suffering is. I will suffer long for my wife. Yeah, sorry, it is reverse. I'm using reverse psychology there. She has more long-suffering than me. You know what I mean, brothers and sisters? We mustn't give up on someone who doesn't do things the way we do or dress like we don't dress, you know, or have haircut that don't have haircut, you know? We don't give up. We don't give in because they are brothers and sisters. Guess what? They're going to end up with us. They're going to be part of the bride of Christ. And then we bear with each other. We not only show tolerance, we celebrate each other with agape love. Agape love is basically we choose to. So, finally, with all effort, with all energy, with all heart, soul, mind, we preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Through Christ's strengthening, we can do this. Let this Pentecost be a fresh wind and fresh fire, that you will not look at your brothers and sisters in a way that is not without love, without humility, without gentleness, without long-suffering, without peace. Thank you.
Can the worship team please come back up? It's great we can celebrate each other. We get to celebrate Jesus, but we also get to celebrate each other, so that's wonderful. Let's stand and let's worship again with King of Kings.